Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Hour two kicking off here. Danielle Avari still at the VSIN Circa studio. We have Tim Murray on with us as well. And Matt Eumanns is just about ready at the South Point Sportsbook. Lots to talk about. If you missed the top of the last hour, we did talk about how Jared Goff will get his starting spot back for the Rams, mostly out of necessity, it looks like. He's still dealing with that thumb injury. And Wolford will be out dealing with his neck injury he sustained last week. Blake Bortles will also be backing up Jared Goff. Also, Urban Meyer is close to closing a coaching deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You last saw him at Ohio State. They won a Rose Bowl 2018. He left for health reasons. Now he may be back in the game, but this time the NFL game, not the college game. Speaking of games, we do have the NFL divisional round playoff coming up this weekend. Four games to watch, and now we have a game of our own because I know Matt and Tim just love to play my games. This one's called Most Likely To. It's not like your high school yearbook, so not most likely to succeed necessarily, but we will start with who is most likely to be the highest scoring team. This is actually something you can bet on DraftKings. The Chiefs are the favorite at 2-1. Bills 5-1. Bucks 8-1. Packers are also 5-1. Ravens 9-1. Tim Murray, anybody interest you there?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Kansas City is the favorite, right? The Browns defense stinks, and the Chiefs have a prolific offense, but that's no fun at plus 275. I'll look at I'll say the Bucs at 8-1. The Saints do have one of the better defenses in the league, Matt. But the way that Tom Brady was able to light up the Redskins, or sorry, Washington last weekend, they had 31 points. The Saints defense is, in my opinion, better than Washington, but at 8-1, I think that's a little intriguing there. So I would play Tampa, but totally understand why Kansas City's plus 275, since the Browns defense is not very good.
Yeah, I would not bet the Packers. They are 7-2, the second choice or so against the NFL's number one scoring defense. So count me out on the Packers. The Chiefs are the obvious favorites on this prop, but I'm with Tim here. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a pretty good shot to pull this upset against the Saints, and I think it could be a high-scoring type of game, 31-28, 34-31. Who knows? Maybe even a higher-scoring game than that. The NFL wants that to be a showcase game for the weekend. If we're talking odds value, I'd go with Bucs at 8-1.
All right, let's flip the script here. Who's the most likely to be the lowest scoring team of the weekend? The Rams are the favorite at plus 180 right now on DraftKings. Browns at 4-1. Ravens 5-1. Bucks 6-1. Bills 8-1. Anything interest you there, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be the Rams at plus 180. It's going to be cold under, it's going to be in the mid-20s. No snow expected, but still cold. You're dealing with a quarterback and an offense that already struggles to score. We saw them, the last start that Jared Goff made, they scored 9 points against the Seattle Seahawks. So I would play the favorite in this spot, the Rams. I would not play the Browns. I think the Browns are going to put up some points.
I do too.
On Sunday.
Yeah, the Browns are going to be able to run the ball in the KC defense. I think this is a fairly obvious one. I have to go with the Rams because I don't think Jared Goff in cold weather is going to be very effective with the bad thumb. Now, the Rams can run the ball, but Sean McVay's entire goal in this game, Danielle, is going to be to run the ball, control the clock, shorten the game. I've got to go with the Rams here.
All right, no love for the Ravens. They're going with the Rams. Let's move on to which team is most likely to get upset this weekend in terms of covering. Tim.
Outright upset. I think it's two teams. It's Buffalo or New Orleans. I'll leave Buffalo for Matt because he already gave out the Ravens. I'll take Tampa Bay. I know it's kind of square. A lot of people are on that side, but I've been really impressed by the by the offense. They've been rolling, and offensively for New Orleans, it really hasn't been all that impressive. So I would say I'll take Tampa Bay.
Yeah, team most likely to get Danielle. I'm not a Bill Lever. I think the Bills, I thought they were going to get upset last week by the Colts, and I'm going to continue to fade the Bills here. I think the run defense is too weak, and this is a bad matchup against Baltimore. So I'll say the Bills are most likely team to get upset.
All right, stick with us. Coming up, Mike Palm and Derek Stevens in the Circa studio. Stick it right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circa Studio. I had Mike Palm and Derek Stevens just try to break in right in the middle of this reset, so they're anxious to get on here. We also have Jimmy Vaccaro a little bit later on in the show. For now, let's send you back to Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm own the place, so they're allowed to break in. They will join us here in a minute. Tim, Lindsay Theory, the Rams ESPN reporter, said today John Walford is out. First, the Packers. He will not be on the field as a quarterback this week because of that stinger in his neck suffered in the game against Seattle. Jared Goff is going to be the starter. I think you and I fully expected that, but that removes any mystery from the Rams quarterback situation. Blake Bortles is a backup. Tim, I've got to think that Sean McVay's game plan is going to be to run the ball with Cam Akers and Malcolm Brown, control the clock, keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, shorten the game, and that's the Rams' best shot to win. And that's another reason why I like that game under the total of 46. We're seeing the total start to drop there. And the Rams have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to hit a lot of big plays here. It looks to me like a 23-14 type of game, 23-13 type of game, who knows? But I don't want to take the points with the dog because, Tim, to me, this is a dog that walks with a limp because the Rams have so many injuries. Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, even though he's going to play, Jared Goff with the bad thumb. Typically, I would be on the dog here taking the 7 when it pops up, but I just feel more confident in betting the Packers to win the game.
Yeah, I agree, I think that's going to start – however many money line parlays and teasers. We'll talk to Mike and Derek about that in just a moment. I think the Rams could pull off a cover. I would be very surprised, Matt, if they pulled the outright upset, as we've talked about with the weather and the conservative play calling that they will try to instill here. You know, I'm sure Sean McVay is going to hope that they can have a Dalvin Cook-like performance when the Vikings went into Lambeau on a really windy day he was able to run all over the Packers, who are a team that can be run on. And, you know, to the Rams' point, David Bakhtiari being out is massive. You know, I think Pro Football Focus had him as the number one tackle in football this year. He's obviously done for the season. And now you've got a team like the Rams that love to get after the quarterback. And we saw that quite a bit last week with Russell Wilson. So, and Jalen Ramsey going up against Davante Adams. It should be a really fascinating game. I don't disagree whatsoever with your thought on the under in this game, because I think this is going to be that type of game, and I don't see the Rams scoring many points at all.
All right, back to the NFL in a couple minutes. Right now we have Derek Stevens and Mike Palm at the Circus Sportsbook downtown, the VSiN studio. Welcome in, guys. Always great to have you on every Thursday. The puck dropped on the NHL season last night. I know both of you guys love hockey. Did you have action on last night's board? And do you have any action on tonight's 10-game hockey schedule? Derek, Mike?
I'll let Mike jump in.
Okay. Well, I have a first period under Mr. Eumanns. I like this this Calgary-Winnipeg game with Markstrom making the move to Calgary to shore up the goaltending. Under 1.5, it's plus $1 in the first period there. I chased a little bit the end game under with the Blues when it was 2-1 last night. We got a 7.5 and then really didn't have to sweat it after a scoreless second period. But, yeah, it's good to have hockey back.
Derek Stevens, it's unfortunate that we can't go to Vegas Golden Knights games. I know you hate that. You love to go to the games just like I do. Tonight, Vegas opens at home, minus 230 against the Anaheim Ducks, total of 6. What do you expect from the Vegas Golden Knights? VSiN Vinny Maiulo was in here this week saying he thinks his team is overrated in the betting market. How good do you think the Vegas team is?
Well, I think they're going to certainly be up there. I think this is one of the best-looking teams, you know, before a season starts. I can remember. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, having a team with a couple of very offensive defensemen. I mean, I remember watching, you know, Vladimir Konstantinov with the Red Wings, and then, you know, you moved over to an offensive defenseman with Nick Lidstrom. Well, here with Theodore and Pietrangelo, I think all of a sudden you're going to see a much different game. I think it's going to. I think this this team's going to fly. So I think this team's going to be exciting to watch. And the one thing that really stood out to me though was in how they named the captain. I think you know you got a team with three captains here between Pacioretty, between Stone and such, and naming Stone as the captain. What I was most intrigued by was Pietrangelo is an assistant captain, which I thought, but I was a little surprised with Riley Smith. But boy, oh boy, everybody on the end is talking about Riley Smith and what a year he's going to have this year. And if that occurs, I think the Golden Knights might be the favorite to win this year.
Do you think the Knights have one of the maybe top five goaltending situations in the NHL with two goalies, Marc-Andre Fleury coming back as one, and Pete DeBoer saying he's not going to announce his goaltender until game time, which should be an advantage for Vegas because the opposition doesn't know exactly who to prepare for in goal?
I think having two goalies, two top goalies, there's never been an NHL season where it's more important.
Uh-huh.
When you're playing every other day and you're playing back-to-backs, you know, these games are going to get chippy. You know, take a guy like Darren Banks. Boy, he loved back-to-backs, and that's because he loved to be able to take a shot at somebody after he gets a game misconduct. So it changes the game a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I think having two goalies this year is going to be critically important. I mean, we saw what happened yesterday with Chicago. I mean, Chicago's on the other side. They don't have a goalie. So having two great goalies, in my opinion, for the Golden Knights is a huge advantage this year, more than years past.
Yeah, I think so as well. Malcolm Subban is the Blackhawks goalie, former backup for the Vegas Golden Knights. Mike Palm, we had on Chuck Esposito yesterday. He said he's afraid the Chicago Blackhawks might be the worst team in the league. But the Detroit Red Wings are rated the worst team in the league. How do you rank the worst teams in the NHL?
No, the Blackhawks are going to have the lowest point total because they have no goaltending. I mean, look at that last night. Subban, we finally shipped him out of town after a couple of years of horror shows when he had to fill in for Fleury, even in just backing up in relief situations. I just don't see where they're going here. I know Detroit was historically bad last year, but how can Chicago? Chicago's going to have to score four goals a game to win this year. And then they're in this division with Tampa Bay. I think the Knights are the best team in the West. I still haven't been sold on Colorado because I don't know that Grubauer is a guy that's going to take you deep into a Stanley Cup run. It's going to be tough to beat Tampa Bay. Look, Vasilevsky played every minute of the playoffs last year, and he's not getting any worse. So you got to get by him. Here's the other thing. The two goalie, what Derek is mentioning, the two goalies is important in the regular season because of this every other day they're going to play. So that's important there. I'm not sure it's important in the playoffs unless you have an injury that you have a serviceable backup. Your number one guy is going to carry you.
All right, good deal.
Yeah, similar to baseball, mm-hmm. where right. The number five starter is a different, not relevant by the time you get to the playoffs.
What are you guys going to do down at Circa for Vegas Golden Knights games? Derek, I know you've had a lot of watch parties in the past. What do you have planned for Stadium Swim?
Yeah, we're going all in tonight. We've got our watch party at Stadium Swim. We'll have the game on in our sports book, Mega Bar, and over at the D, we'll have it at Long Bar, and we'll have it at Bar Canada. And Bar Canada will be playing Golden Knights audio every game this season. So that's going to be the priority scheduling event over at Bar Canada. It's a Canadian bar. It's a hockey bar, and we'll have full audio for Golden Knights every single game this year. At our other places, it's going to really depend on the schedule. Like game two here at the Circus Sportsbook behind us at Stadium Swim, we're obviously going to have to play the NFL football games here this weekend. So we're really dedicating Bar Canada as our hockey bar. And we're going to be up at Stadium Swim tonight, so I'm looking forward to our first outdoor event. We haven't had a watch party outside in a while.
You know, Maddie, that being said, you know, obviously we're going to play Buffalo and Baltimore, the volume on Saturday night. But if you rent a cabana, the cabana has their own TV with a volume control. So, if you're a Knights fan, you're a local, you come out and you can watch on the big screen. The the AFC divisional game, but you can also watch and listen to the Knights in your cabana.
That is true. Plenty of great spots to watch those games on Saturday night down at Circa. Tim, do you want to talk football with these guys?
I want to talk about Saturday, guys. It's, you know, I'm coming out here from the East Coast. It's usually cold in January. It's going to be 70 on Saturday. What is the scene going to be like on Saturday afternoon for Packers and Rams?
Well, we'll have a tremendous number of Packer jerseys out at Stadium Swimming and the sports book as well. They're going to be well backed here in terms of numbers. It was incredible, Maddie and Tim, Sunday night. This right behind us, this sports book looked like the dog pound. I mean, it was all Browns jerseys. It was incredible. Now, they got the doubleheader because they got Ohio State on Monday night for the national championship game. But I'll bet we'll have a ton of Browns fans here again on Sunday morning when they take on the Chiefs.
And what do you guys think, Mike and Derek, you guys will ultimately need? I'm sure every money line parlay and teaser is going to start with the Packers on Saturday. But, you know, the way it's been sounding, do you think Sunday we could see a couple square dogs with the Browns plus the 10 and the Buccaneers plus the 3?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I love the way these matchups are. I do not see this as a weekend where you're going to get all four home teams going. I think we're going to have some great football, and I think that unlike maybe what we saw in some years past on this weekend, where you know sometimes you see this weekend and all of a sudden it straight lines up home favorite, and you're begging to find a road dog to win. I think we have four viable games where you can make a good argument that the dog could win outright on any one of these four.
Mike, you got anything in the Palm Reader's playbook for a divisional round weekend?
You like the Browns to win the game.
I think there's a shot, Mike.
Okay.
Wow.
I have the Saints. I love the Saints. I made this number 6. It's 3 still. The Buccaneers don't match up with them. You've seen it in the two previous games. 4 out of 5 road now for them traveling Tampa Bay. 4 out of the last 5 weeks on the road. I don't think Brady's what he was at any point. And I don't think we've seen the Tampa Bay defense play as well since that game against Green Bay where they really blitzkrieged Rodgers in the second quarter down there in Tampa. I like this. I think New Orleans is the best team in football. I think they're the most balanced team. I think they have a nasty defense. Yes, the trend the last few years is they don't score too many points in the playoffs, but this was my play. I laid the 3 already in this one.
You know, I wasn't too impressed with the way the Saints played last week, Mike. If the Bears don't drop that touchdown pass, the complexion of the game changes a lot, and they struggled really to put up points against a mediocre Bears defense. But that's going to be a fascinating game Sunday night. That's got to be a huge wagering handle, too. I think you're going to get really strong two-way action, maybe a little bit more on the Saints this weekend. But, Derek, I want to try to sell you on a college basketball future. I wanted to do this last week, but we ran out of time. I bet Michigan at 30-1 last week. A couple days ago, I lost a really bad bet on Wisconsin plus 4 at Michigan. The Wolverines turned a 26-23 game into 62-26, just like that. You have bet big futures in the past on Michigan, Michigan State. Have you played anything yet on the Wolverines?
No, I'll tell you what, man. Okay. I know we were going to talk about this, but I'll tell you what, I think the ship sailed on me here. Uh-huh. I love your bet at 30-1. I mean, right now we're posting at 11-1 on Michigan. The no is minus 2,000, but at 11-1, I don't think I'm going to make a play. And it just simply comes down to the numbers. I mean, historically, I've made these plays generally at 25-1, haven't gone lower than 20. But boy, this Michigan team looks good. You got 3 senior guards, including a couple transfers, one from Wake Forest, one from Columbia. And you got this freshman, this young kid, this 7'1" Dickinson at center. Boy, has he ever come on. And I was shocked at what they did with Wisconsin in the second half of that game. This team looks really, really good to me.
Yeah, you were shocked. I was shocked. Tim was shocked. And a lot of sharp bettors I know on Wisconsin in that game were shocked and took a loss on that as well. Derek, have you bet any college hoops futures, or are you just basically paying attention to your book at the Circa?
Yeah, you know, I've been preoccupied. I haven't paid enough damn attention, yeah. And it's upset me that I didn't get on this Michigan 2020-21 basketball team. I would have loved to have been on this team here, but at 11-1, I'm gonna take a pass at this point. Now maybe we'll have a little shot where a number goes up. You know, they've got some tough road games coming up. They got to go to Minnesota on Saturday, and we'll see where that goes. It's kind of at a point in the Big Ten season. Like, for me to get on Michigan, I need them to lose like two in a row. You know, one tough game on the road, and then they lose a home game that's unexpected. Maybe I can get something up to 20, but I don't like going into the NCAA tournament without a 20-1 number, just because I think we all know there's so much volatility there. But I'll tell you what, this Michigan team, I just think they got it all together. You got a big guy in center. You got the little brother in Wagner coming on. You've got three good guards here, three mm-hmm. senior guards. So I think it really matches up well for the tournament.
Hey, Mike Palm, I know last year I predicted you were going to have your own show on VSiN. I think I was a year ahead of myself. I'm going to predict again it happens this year. What do you think?
You were only off. You said would be the breakout star of 2020 and have his own show, and you're off by 3 weeks, Matty. I texted Paul Howard that when I found out. I said, boy, Humans was close on this one, and if not for a pandemic, he probably would have been dead on.
That's right. It's going to happen soon. I can sense it. Mike Palm. Mike, by the way, before we run out of time, any hockey futures you would recommend anyone play here in the last 30 seconds? I know you talk about it with Mitch and Paul.
Yeah, I'd say fade the Bruins in their point total this year. I think they're just, you know, they're a one-line team, and they have injuries to start. I think they're a declining team. So that was my future bet, was to fade them in the point total.
All right, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens in their Vegas Golden Knights jerseys down at the Circus Sportsbook downtown. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate the time. Quick break. We'll come back with Top Plays, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. WTA and ATP tennis is back in full swing, and Bet Rivers has every shot covered with live betting opportunities on every point, instant results, and the most live streams of tennis matches in the world. As always, get $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. This is My Guys in the Desert. Now back to Matt Humans and Tim Murray.
Tim, you want to update some college hoops this afternoon? It's always cool when we have games in action in the afternoon. UCLA is blowing out Washington State. We had a couple in the Pac-12 today. A final earlier, Colorado 89-60 over Cal, and easy cover for the Buffaloes. Right now, Utah leads Stanford 44-33, 14 and a half minutes to go in that game. And UCLA up on Washington State 74-50. The Bruins on a roll in the Pac-12, Tim, without Chris Smith, who was their best player.
Yeah, and they went off as a nine and a half point favorite, as you mentioned. Utah, this has been an impressive performance. In commercial breaks, I've been watching this Utah Stanford game, Matt, as you see on the screen or we're about to put up. I mean, this game went off as a pick at the South Point. Other spots in town had Utah as a favorite. There were other spots in town, Matt, that had Stanford as a favorite. And right now, Utah just got fouled on a three, a chance to extend this lead to 14. So really an impressive performance so far today for Utah over Stanford at home.
All right, Tim, we've talked about the Purdue-Indiana Pepperdine-Gonzaga games at length today. Anything that made your top plays list for tonight?
Yeah, I'm actually, I talked myself into it. You know, I think the time off for Pepperdine and is going to be a massive disadvantage. It's a big number. And while I sent this email to Jacob, the number has actually ticked up a point. So Gonzaga first half is up to 16. Got it at 15. I think the last spot in town was Westgate that had it at 15. I played it during the show. Gonzaga has covered, Matt, 6 of their last 7 first halves. Pepperdine, as I mentioned, coming off a 3-week break, Christmas. Then they had a COVID pause for 2 weeks. And, you know, prior to that, you brought it up, too. You know, they got blown out by Cal State Bakersfield in their final game. I think Gonzaga, if they want to, can name the score. So I think they come out and put their foot on the necks of the Waves early. So I'll lay the 15 in the first half. And then I'm going to channel my inner JVT here, Matt. I know he likes the Pacers a bit tonight. I do too. West Coast trip for the Pacers, but they were off last night. The Blazers beat the Kings 132-126. So getting some points with the Pacers. You can still find 3. It's a lot of 2.5s out there, but you can still find 3 out there. So I'll take the points with the Pacers tonight. They've been pretty good so far on the road, Matt. 3-1 straight up on the road. 3-1 ATS. So the Blazers playing their first back-to-back of the season. I will take the Pacers plus the 3 in Portland.
Tim, a couple of nights ago, I watched the Pacers come from behind to beat the San Francisco Warriors in a pretty good game up there. Hey, we have to give props to JVT, too. He came on yesterday's show, had 2 best bets.
3-0.
Said that he might add the Nets minus 3 against the Knicks. If he did, he went 3-0 on yesterday's show.
Yeah, and the Grizzlies wasn't looking good, and then in the fourth quarter, just put steamrolled. So the steamrolled the Timberwolves. So yeah, good night for old JVT. I texted him last night, said, "Way to give out some winners, man." Yeah, that Nets game was a good call too. It seemed like the market assumed that the Nets wouldn't take care of business, but they forgot that Kevin Durant still plays for Brooklyn.
I've got an idea here. I think we should make JVT a senior NBA analyst.
Ooh.
At VSIN. What do you think, Tim?
I like it. I think that's a good call.
All right. Maybe we can move things in that direction. Kenny White with his best bets on today's show. He had Purdue plus 4, San Diego State plus 2, and Pepperdine Gonzaga over 167. Throw up my top plays. I had the Ravens plus 2 early in the week. Might be able to grab 3 on that by game time. Who knows? But I've got one teaser here. I'm going to pair the Packers minus a half point with the Bucks plus 9, Tim. I really struggle with this. Do I put the Ravens on there? Which team do I pair with the Packers? I'm going to go with the Bucks. So Packers minus a half point, Buccaneers plus 9, a straight bet on the Ravens plus 2. And also we're going to go Browns half unit each, plus 6.5 in the first half, plus 10 for the game. I think the Browns are going to hang in with the Chiefs this weekend. We'll come back with more. We're going to talk more college hoops and NBA. Jimmy Vaccaro is going to join us next, though, here on My Guys in the Desert.
Started last night. The VGK, the Golden Knights, get going tonight, and there's no better way to get ready for the 2021 hockey season with our NHL betting preview guide. Over 80 pages of insight on teams, players, trends from our NHL expert Andy McNeil. It's available now for all VSiN subscribers. Get your copy today, only $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. It is My Guys in the Desert, Tim Murray, here at the home studio, Matt Newman's, and look at this, Jimmy Vaccaro coming in studio there at the South.
Always great when Jimmy V drops by. Jimmy, on January 12th, 1969, I was not born yet, but you were firing big bets.
Yeah,
you were in your
ass off,
young 20s, Super Bowl III.
Yeah.
How big a bet did you make on Super Bowl 3?
330-3 late 17 that says this Mustang's going to get – I'm going to get my 330 plus the 300 back in about 3.5 hours.
You laid 17 with the Baltimore Colts against the New York Jets.
And I thought that was a pretty good price at the time. Now, you got to remember, this is 1969, so 330-3 was a pretty big bite. And it knocked Jimmy backwards for about 2 weeks, that's for sure. I can tell you that. But it was something.
All the money you had in your pocket at the time?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I might have went and asked Margaret, my beloved mother, for like 20 that night because I was dead ass empty. Believe me. Matter of fact, when I paid the 330, the next day or two, I went, got my car, went back to Youngstown, a lot of friends there, and just started all over again. Kid, what else can you do? Just start all over again.
How many times have you gone bust in your sports?
Minimum 100 times.
In your sports betting career?
Sports betting. Yeah. Shooting dice was like a different thing. I loved to play dice. I loved to play Barbut, the Greek game. But if you won 2 out of 10 times, you were doing okay. And I seemed to like every now and then make a decent score. But Jimmy was always in action. That's why he never got married. That's why I never did anything. That's why I came out here and back home, back here and over there. And then I stayed, and here we are, humans. 1996, when did I last? 1974 is when I landed. Yeah,
19, you did get married a couple times.
Yeah, that was I would have rather laid 27.
Those were bad bets.
With UNLV over the Lakers, as opposed to getting married.
Those were bad bets.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Did I get my brains blown out? I mean, you ever get married?
No.
Smart guy.
No. I've always said that's the worst bet a guy can make.
It's not even close.
Tim, my co-host, didn't listen. He's happily married, but he's only a few years into it. Give him a chance.
You were married what, 4 times?
No, he's.
I got my ring on here. No, one time.
he said the ring was 4 times.
How many years, Tim? You've been into it now? 3 years? 4 years?
7.
Wow.
7 years.
7 years.
7 year itch.
7 years.
You better watch.
Imagine
out.
That.
And I got it. And I got her to move to Las Vegas in the 7th year.
Our producer, Jacob Roach, a young guy, he's really serious with his girlfriend, Jimmy. He's about ready to pop the question.
Is he?
To you.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, I admire people who make it. It just wasn't me, that's for sure. I mean, just no chance. The first time I got married, I was 33. So it took me a while even to get there.
How long did that last?
The first one, a year and a half. The second one, about 7 years. The second one, I would say, lasted about 20 minutes, but I was there for 7 years. That's all right. I could tell you.
What type of action are you seeing on the NFL divisional games? You said you had something show up on the Rams-Packers game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was obviously a little slow to be, when I was here earlier, then naturally just talking to Chris, talking about a bunch of different things. And right before I came over, Chris had just okayed a bet. A guy took the Packers plus the 7.5. He bought the 0.5 for $10,000, and then he took plus 7 for $20,000. So it's starting to heat up. And, there's some great marquee teams this weekend. There's no doubt about it. And as we talked earlier, Matt, I mean, I always like when there's like one Cinderella team in there. We all know who the Cinderella teams are. So, get ready for a big Saturday and Sunday. Get ready.
Which sides are you going to need? Now, you told me initially you thought the Packers might close minus 7.5. You still think it's going to get there?
I really do.
Really?
The Rams are just losing too many people, too. Whatever. It's just an educated guess. I say educated because you may say that's a dumb guess, Jimmy, but I say educated guess that we'll be overwhelmed by -7, -6.5 in the parlays. Make no mistake about it. Might be one of those games where, it looks like, you need the Packers, Jimmy, because you're at 6. Well, not really. We'll see what happens.
You had a ton of public play on the Packers.
Oh, my goodness. Last week, it was just incredible the amount of money that came in on the
Hey, Cam just showed up with a ticket.
Cameroon. Cameroon, give it to the guys back there. She's the best. Besides being beautiful, she's smart.
That's a good combination.
Cameroon. Yes, Jimmy. You can see we work hard around here. You can really see that.
You have
really a lot of restrictions, right, Matt? A lot of restrictions.
You have one of the best jobs in the world, Jimmy. It's not really a job, is it?
I do nothing, but I'm good at it.
What about the late game on Sunday night? Is that going to be the biggest handle game?
Yes.
Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Bucs Saints Part 3 with the Saints -3.
Yeah, and I would think that we're going to wind up needing these Saints for a pretty good bet.
Really?
Obviously, the 3.5 was scooped up real quick, and it's 3. And 3 is a solid number. What we're saying exactly, it looks like the game should be pick them on a neutral field, so it will draw plenty of attention. Plus, the bigger thing with all that considered, Matt, is like everything that's live is going to that late game.
Sure.
And it'll be more on. It'll be a big, big decision no matter what happens in the first three games.
All right, so we have the tickets here. Did you tweet these out yet?
I think we just tweeted. I think so that Cameroon tweeted them out.
You went to plus seven on the Rams earlier today?
Yes.
All right, so he played 22,000 on the Rams plus seven. Mm-hmm. And he also bought a half point. So he played the Rams plus 7.5 for 12,500 to win 10,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you had any other significant bets on the NFL games yet?
No, not really. Hopefully it'll just get a little crazier, and it will be. But how much crazier, I don't know. Because remember, and listen, everybody out there, not that they're worried about us here, but, we're going to get hurt by non-California traffic because it's bad over there, and, mm-hmm. they're going to come for the weekend. So we'll see what happens. But, yes, it'll still be a big, big weekend for us. That's the last super big weekend, like the two on Saturday and two on Sunday. Then we just go. The biggest aggravation already thinking is like, what the hell do you do the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl comes? I mean, that's just like, I don't want to talk about Bobby Hall. That's for sure.
You don't want to talk about hockey right now? How was hockey betting last night?
Okay. I asked Chris and I was really concerned. I said, do we do anything? They showed me the figures. It was like nothing. I think we won $3,000 to the hockey. So early yet, we'll see what happens. And the NBA with all this stuff, I'm playing, I'm not playing, go here, go there, all this, whatever. Tell Harden to get a job.
He's got one. It pays him about $35, $40 million a year. It's not bad.
All right. Are you done with me?
Yeah. You can get out of here. Thanks for stopping by, as always, man. Have a good weekend. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Oddsmaker. Quick break on the show. How about that? $330 bet on the Colts minus 17 in 1969. That's a pretty good bet back then. Actually, it was a bad bet because the Colts lost the game 16-7. But anyway, we'll come back and finish up with more hoops. As we look forward to tonight's schedule, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the Desert is coming to you from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Tim Murray, Matt Eumanns, and Matt, as we all expected, it is now official. The Jaguars have found their man.
Yeah, we have breaking news here to report, Tim. The Powerball jackpot is now up to $640 million and growing after Wednesday's whiff. The next Mega Millions drawing, a $750 million jackpot, is Friday. Tim, that's more important than Urban Meyer. Would you drive to the state line, Arizona or California, wait in line for an hour to buy Powerball tickets for a shot to win $750 million?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It sounds like you're going to do it.
I might have somebody else do it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Matt Eumanns has people. I mean.
Well, there are people out there who get fired up about this. We'll drive to the state line. We'll wait in line for hours. You just give them $100 or whatever. They will put in the tickets and bring them back. I don't have to do it myself. I think it might be worth a shot. I don't really care if it's $250 million or $700, but there are people who will drive out there and do this stuff, so I'll pitch in a few bucks to take a shot at this.
Yeah. I mean, if you know people, I'll throw in a couple bucks, too. So, okay. Sure. Well, let's. And then what do we do when we win? I mean, we're obviously going to win. Are we going to get on that? There's a reality show about lottery winners and buying their houses, so maybe we'll get on one of those.
Well, you got to keep working. We keep working here at VSiN and just find ways to invest the money and take a little bit more vacation time. That's all. Okay, Tim, it's official. The real breaking news, Urban Meyer is now the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. But this is the worst kept secret in the NFL. It's been apparent this is going to happen for a week. Michael Lombardi said this news this morning on the Lombardi line, and it's now official. Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network tweeted this. It's interesting. Tim, what do you think of this comparison? He says, tweets, college head coach to NFL head coach is not easy in the transition, but this Urban Meyer to Jacksonville news feels a lot like Jimmy Johnson to the Dallas Cowboys. What do you think of that comparison?
Well, Jimmy Johnson took over a franchise, right? They went 1-15 his first year. Is that right, Matt? I'm trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's correct.
Beat rack my memory.
Beat your Washington Redskins on the road.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
yeah, that's an interesting comparison, especially with, you know, they had Troy Aikman come in, they had Emmitt Smith. So right now, we've talked about the Jaguars situation quite a bit, and it was long assumed that this would be the guy that they end up hiring. I forget who the first was to report that Urban Meyer was, you know, already putting together a staff. Apparently, Charlie Strong, Matt, is going to be a part of the staff down there in Jacksonville. There's no denying that he's a tremendous collegiate coach, one of the best we've ever seen. Look at that record, especially, you know, if you remove, I think he had 6 losses in 2 years at Bowling Green. And after that, it was, I think, 171 and like 26. I mean, it's unbelievable the winning that he was able to accomplish. And you get what you need in the NFL. You get a franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. And what you've talked about too, and many others, is he's on a rookie deal for 4 years. So that's great to build around with all that money. So it's a good situation. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust. I understand the move, but I am a little hesitant just because of the lack of success we've seen from true college coaches to the NFL.
Well, the one thing that's going to make Urban Meyer successful, and I'm very confident in saying that, is he's got Trevor Lawrence as a head start. So you have the number one pick. You have to have a franchise quarterback. I think Lawrence is one of the best bets we've seen. And I'm going to say maybe – who's the last time you felt like there was a lock? Andrew Luck. I think Trevor Lawrence is in that class as well. So, I mean, that's a big reason Urban Meyer is back in the coaching and taking the leap to the NFL, because you do have a head start with Trevor Lawrence and all the draft picks and the cap space that Jacksonville has to work with. It's kind of a blank canvas, and I think any coach would be excited about that situation. He also coached the Florida Gators to 2 national championships, so he lived in that area of the country and likes it. So I think this is going to be a success. There are going to be plenty of skeptics who say, well, a college coach hasn't made it many times in the NFL, and I certainly understand that, but he's walking into a really good situation. I would caution this, Tim. You talked about Charlie Strong on his staff. Urban Meyer does not have NFL coaching experience. He's got to hire some really good coordinators with NFL coaching experience, because Charlie Strong's not that guy either. Hopefully he compiles a pretty good staff if he wants to be successful.
Yeah, that was the report, you know, a week or so ago that he was already working on his staff. Charlie Strong, they worked together at Florida. Charlie Strong left to go to Louisville. So, yeah, I don't know if Charlie Strong is going to be, Matt, the defensive coordinator or have a different role, but I agree. This is a guy, and I mentioned this earlier in the show. You know, Matt Rhule worked for the Giants, and then he went to Temple, on to Baylor, back to the Panthers. Urban Meyer went from, a grad assistant at Ohio State. I think there's another stop, Notre Dame, Bowling Green. He's never been in the NFL. So they definitely need people that are going to have that type of experience, because you can't coach an NFL team like you do a college team. And so that'll be certainly something for him to deal with. But, you know, at the end of the day, you get Trevor Lawrence. It's a great situation to walk into. You know, a lot of these coaches in the past, Matt, go to, you know, terrible situations, and you're getting a franchise quarterback before you play a game. So it's a really good spot for Urban Meyer to walk into.
I don't think he's going to put Zach Smith on his staff. You remember that guy, Tim?
Yeah, not a fan of his.
I don't think he's going to be on the Jaguars staff. What about Tom Herman? Could Tom Herman be on the Jaguar staff? Anyway, maybe. We'll see what Urban Meyer puts together. But again, he's officially the new Jacksonville Jaguars coach. And now you have six openings remaining in the NFL for head coaching jobs. Tim, would you consider making a bet like this? BetMGM tweeted this out today. One bettor just placed a $200 wager on John Walford to be Super Bowl MVP. It looks like 500-1 odds. Would you consider the payout's $100,000? Would you consider that bet?
I mean, it's a good return on your investment, but can you really see John Wolford actually making it all the way to the Super Bowl and winning? I mean, think about it this way, Matt. If the Rams win this weekend, it would surprise me to bench Jared Goff. I mean, I guess crazier things could happen. They could have, you know, three pick sixes, but it's a hell of a return of an investment. It's a good ticket, but no, I would not make that bet.
No, I would not either. I would take that 200, Tim, and I would give it to someone who's going out to Prim to play the Powerball. And just say, buy me some Powerball tickets. We got tweets from Wayne Morgan who says, there is no lottery line here in Mississippi. How about that? You don't have to wait in line.
Right, there you go, Wayne.
We have a picture from the Las Vegas Review-Journal of people lined up outside the lotto store in Prim out on the California-Nevada state line. And it looks like a line of people trying to get into Disney World. That's why I said I would not wait in that line. I also got a tweet from Benji Fever who says, pay someone in the line to get the lotto tickets, go play golf at Prim, and they will be at the front of the line when you're done. What if that person takes off with your money? And also, Tim, I don't have time to play golf this time of year because we have college hoops, NFL games. We have too much going on, so no time to hit the golf course. We also got a golf tournament in Hawaii today, and we'll try to update that on tomorrow's show. Tim, last look
what
at college.
Plays, what plays do you have? Do you have any plays in the Sony Open?
Yeah, I've got some. Colin Morikawa is one. Kevin Kistner is another. I've got a matchup against Daniel Berger over last week's winner, Harris English. Got a couple of long shots, Mark Leishman. And who do I take? Chez Reavie at 115-1, actually. So we'll see. I have not even checked the scores. I don't get too fired up about first-round scores when you have a big field like this, over 100 players. It's still anybody's tournament, and half the guys had not even teed off as of about an hour and a half ago. Tim, last look at college hoops tonight. Number one team in the nation in action, and you have a play on the game. Pepperdine, Gonzaga. Kenny White played this over 167.
Yeah, and that total is has continued to go up. I played first half, got it at 15. I believe it's at 16 now. Gonzaga, 6-1 ATS in their last seven first halves, Matt, and Pepperdine hasn't played a basketball game in 3 weeks. So being rusty and going to the kennel and playing Gonzaga is not really a good recipe. And, you know, the last time we saw the Waves on the floor, they lost to Cal State Bakersfield by 28. So it has not been a good stretch here for Pepperdine. We'll see if Gonzaga comes out focused. If they do, I don't think they should have any issue covering the 15 in the first half.
All right, Purdue, Indiana in the Big Ten tips off here in about 10 minutes, actually. Purdue has won seven straight against Indiana, 10 of the past 11. Archie Miller, 0-6 against the Boilermakers, but the bettors on the home favorite here, pushing the number from 3 to 4, a low total of 130. Purdue's one of the slowest tempo teams in the country. Pretty good defensive team off a 55-54 win at Michigan State. I like Indiana to win a tight game. I wouldn't lay the points necessarily. Kenny White was on Purdue +4. So that was one of his best bets. He's also on San Diego State, +2 at Utah State tonight. Pretty good college hoops card. Tim, anything else for you in terms of college action tonight?
No, nothing else. I don't disagree, though, with Kent's take on San Diego State. Utah State, who have they played? And Kenny brought up the revenge factor. Last time they played, 59-56, Sam Merrill with the big J.
All right, Tim Murray, thanks a lot. Good luck tonight. And we're back on My Guys in the Desert with the Football Friday Show tomorrow. Aaron Renning and Scott Kellen in studio. Up next, Rush Hour with Wes Reynolds here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.